Receive all the glory and the honor, Lord. I lift my hands to worship and to praise your holy name. Receive all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, many people don't know, tomorrow I will be turning 70. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you think about that, 70 is a time for me to reflect back on what God has done in my life. Praise the Lord. And that is really what I'm going to talk about today. It's more like testimonies of God, not my testimonies. Testimonies of God. Because when you look at the scripture, you see, I'm going to center it on the book of Daniel. When you look at the book of Daniel, it's the testimonies of God, not the testimonies of Daniel. And that is what I'm going to pattern this around. Amen. And I want you to worship God with me. I'm going to kneel down here because I always see him about this place when I'm preaching. So I want to stand up and worship God with me because I'm thanking him for keeping me alive for many more years, of course. Because several months ago, the Lord echoed this to my hearing in a vision. Not the vision was on my bed, it just echoed what was going on concerning me. Satan came by to request to eliminate this guy. And the Lord echoed it to my hearing, and the Lord said, no. I have a work for him. He's doing this for me, he's doing that for me, he's doing that for me, so you cannot eliminate him. And why would the Lord echo it to me? Because he wants me to know about it. And that is why, when you are serving the Lord, trust in the Lord. Let me kneel down here and all of you worship the Lord with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hand, just lift up and just pray for me too. Father, we thank you. My name is Jesus Christ. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise see the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise see the Lord. Hallelujah. Like I said, say, time of testimonies of God. So today is going to be testimony, and the Lord wanted to add some testimonies of another people with it. So I'm going to call Barabariku. He's going to give a testimony of God in his life also. Come over, Barabariku. I will give you one microphone to just relate to us. But you can say, this is God that did it for you, through not to one he did when you pray for the sick. I'm not talking about that type of testimony. When I pray for the sick and they get well, you say God did that through him. No, what God did in my life, what God did in your life. Come over, brother. Amen. Don't want me to add some other people's testimony to that. Let's go straight to the point. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Santo.
Okay, I believe everybody can hear my voice.
Yes.
When Brother Pastor Julius asked if I could share a testimony, I didn't in fact know the reasoning behind it. Now he's looking back and telling us about his life and the great things God has done in his life and the things he will yet do. And I just want to give a brief testimony to support what Brad Julius is going to tell us. And to tell Brad Julius, our God is a faithful God.
Amen.
He is the mighty warrior. He is our defense.
Amen.
When no other person can defend us.
Amen.
I just want to give a testimony. Maybe you've heard about it sometime. Perhaps my wife may have said something about it. How the Lord, in his faithfulness, led me, as it were, through a fiery furnace. When the world will rise up against you because of your trust in the Lord, I want to encourage you and to tell you, do not fear. The Lord is faithful, and he will fight your battles.
Amen.
I trained as an engineer, and I went to work in a French company. And at a time, I got to a position that no other Nigerian had taken in the company. And that position meant that I had to coordinate the engineering planning and programs, and a lot of the people who were in engineering, of course, if you knew Nigeria in the past, there were certain sensitive positions that companies would not want to entrust to Nigerians. And so in engineering, we had a lot of French people who were in engineering. And of course, you know how people scheme and want position and want to assert themselves. And here was this young Nigerian being put in this position. And then the Nigerians who were in engineering were, as it were, ganging up, and of course the French didn't want to respect this position. So I will sit in my office and I will have people come to tell me, Nigerians, and they will come and tell me, you are not going to be in this position. You are not going to succeed. And they will name to me and this person and this person and this person, we will team up. We will fight you. We will remove you. And I will sit down. Of course, they knew me. They knew I was a Christian. They knew my testimony. In fact, when I started, I didn't start in engineering. What I started in production, what led me into engineering was that there was some trouble in the company. And then the authorities wanted every manager to take their stand. And of course, I stood out. And I said, you are wrong. The things you are doing are not right. The people had a chance to speak and make their demand. And so there was a problem. And every other person person who was a manager who didn't take their stand was sacked. And it got to a point, it was before me like that, you just have to make a choice. Stand with us or don't stand with us. And of course I said, I'm not standing with you. And I was like the only person that was a manager that was not removed, that was not sacked. So that was, it was after that, then they had problems, what to do with me, where to put me. That was how I ended up in engineering. So when they now ganged up and came and were telling me, we will fight with you, we will deal with you, we will do this, including some of the French people, and I will just look at them and I will say, go and do your worst. And I want to tell you that our God was faithful. And that's just what I want every one of us to note. That if you pass through the waters, if you pass through the fires, if you stand in the Lord, He will defend you.
Amen.
He will see you through.
Amen.
Now, they were so confident, sorry, I hope I'm not taking too much of your time. They were so confident, they knew what they were doing, and they escaped. But do you know our Almighty God, what He did? The chief engineer was removed. And then there were a lot of things happening at the background I didn't know. Now a new post came. And the production manager at the time when there was this conflict and I said, sorry, I'm not standing with you people, you were wrong. It turned out that that production manager was now sent back. He had left and was sent back to France. He was now sent back as the managing director. And the sensitive post came. And they wanted somebody they could rely on. I didn't know the things that were happening. So this managing director came, and now he was the person that picked me and said I was going to go for that job. In the end, let me not just take too much of your time, in the end, what happened? I went to that job and everybody again gagged up because that job was a source of money for people. It had to deal with people outside and things like that. I was to be a technical purchasing manager and I was a threat to people. And then from Lagos, from Port Harcourt, everywhere there was, you know, there was some trouble. And then another gang got started. But let me just end here by telling you the faithfulness of our God. What did He do? The top, the head of that department, of that section, who was in Lagos, who made all his schemings and everything, and all the people in that area, it turned out each and every one of them, they were taken away. And I was the only person that stayed and did my job till my retirement. I want to tell you that our God is faithful. He will fight your battles even when you are not looking, even when you don't know what is happening at the back. Just hold on to Him, He will not fail you.
Praise the Lord. You can turn this one off now. Go ahead. Praise ye the Lord. Like I said, today is going to be testimonies of God. Testimonies of God. What I mean by testimonies of God, let me first point you to Daniel, the book of Daniel. You will see in the book of Daniel, from Daniel chapter 1 to chapter 12, it was actually structured as God's testimonies, not Daniel's testimony. Maybe the chapter 1 talked about how he came to be in Babylon and how everything went and how his life showed that he was following God. But chapter 2 was the beginning of it. Was it Daniel's testimony? No. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to kill all these people called wise men. And he was one of them. And they cried unto God, that God, you know the answer, help us. So it was God's testimony. So God revealed the vision to Daniel, and Daniel came and said, don't destroy the wise men. Take me before the king. We got the answer. And we all know the whole story. So that was why I call it God's testimony. Now you know Daniel was promoted, because when you are working with God, there will be some rub off of his glory upon you. But it was God's testimony. Now you go to chapter 3 of Daniel. What was in that story of chapter 3? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Was that their testimony? No. God's testimony. That when the king wanted to destroy this young man and say, who is your God that's going to save you? And they were ready to die. Don't think they have faith. No, it's not their faith. They have determination to die for God. Then God showed up. So it's God's testimony. What does testimony mean? God's testimony simply means the way God operates, what God does in life, most of the time is to glorify himself. Look at Psalm 19. Give me Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Because I'm going to go, after summarizing Daniel, I'm going to go to my own God's testimony, what he did for me, not what he did through me. So I'm going to make the difference between that. Psalm 19, verse 7 said, the testimonies of the Lord. Verse 7 said, the law of the Lord is perfect, comforting the soul. This testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So testimonies of the Lord, it make wise the simple. That is why we are pointing out today. And you go to chapter 4 of Daniel. That was when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to, that was Nebuchadnezzar's testimony of what God did in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Oh yeah, he tried to do something and then he became an animal. And God, and then he cried to God, he repented, and God brought him back. No, so that was God's testimony in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Now you go to chapter 5, Belshazzar. God's testimony writing and writing on the wall. What God did through in the life of that Belshazzar. That was what that was also about. So you can see every story in the book of Daniel was actually God's testimony. Go to chapter 6, where another king, Darius, was there, and they devised an evil device against Daniel. You say, well, Daniel had faith. No, it's not Daniel's faith. Daniel was ready to die for what he stood for. That's what many of us are ready to do in the same time. And God showed up in the lion's den. So it's God's testimonies of what God did in the life of all these men. So you remember, so when we are talking about God's testimonies, you can think about your life also and say, well, I think God did that, God did that, God did that for me. That's what I'm going to share in my own brief testimony. Then when you go to from chapter 7 to the end, chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, those were dreams, visions, angelic visitations. So what are those? What God did in the life of five men in the book of Daniel. Just what God did in the life of those five men. Daniel, his three friends, and Nebuchadnezzar. That's all. That's what you see in chapter 12. And that book became so powerful till the end of the world just by giving testimonies of God. See? But it's because it was written down. That's how we all knew about it. So that's more of the time what I'm trying to say. When you give the testimonies of God, when it is recorded, when it is written down, it may look like it was done in a corner, somewhere there in the corner. But when it was recorded, people will know about it. How many people can tell me? How many people saw the Lord Jesus Christ walk upon the sea? How many people? In the story, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. 12 apostles in the night, on the Sea of Galilee, they were the only people that saw the Lord Jesus walk upon the sea. But now, in this generation, how many people knew about it? Almost the whole world knew about it. How did they know about it? Because it was recorded for us to. So that's why I'm saying this testimony of the Lord is many times he did it for generations to come. What he did in the life of Daniel is not just for Daniel, it's for generations to come. He told Moses, he said, Moses, what I will do through you is for, not just for Moses, not for Israelites, for generations to be talking about what God can do and what God has done. So praise the Lord. So what I'm going to share with you today is to just give testimonies of what God has done in my life. When I say I am turning, and tomorrow is my birthday, I'm turning 70, and I want to look back and reflect. And the first one, I will just give two testimonies of what God has done in my life, that I can say it is only God can do it. Many of you have seen this book, maybe you have not seen it. I actually brought some of them. This is my gift to anyone. Many of the newcomers have never seen it. This is my biography. This one was almost 4 years ago now that I brought it over here, and many people got it. It's called A Child of God from Ijebu Land, the biography of Brother Julius Adeyemi. And I bought about 15. It's on the table there. Pick one. And if you want to give it to somebody, pick one. If you have read, if you have gotten it, you have not read it. You have not read your testimony after 4 years, then something is, you are not reading. Because I had myself that wrote it, I've read it again and again, because these are testimonies, that's why it's the testimonies of God. Not testimonies of what the Boadilos did, no, the testimonies of God in the life of this man. In the life of this man. That's what testimonies of God is. So I brought some of these for gifts. For those who are watching online or on the internet or on television, you can get this on Amazon.com. And they are there. You order it. If you search for A Child of God from Ijebu Land, or just by my name, Julius Adewumi, or Gospel Distribution Ministry, they are all under the Gospel Distribution Ministries. So you are free to take at least one of them. If you have not have it, if you don't have it before, it's on the table there for those who are here. And that's why I brought about 15. Praise the Lord. Now, the first testimony that came to my heart that I was thinking about it, I said, Lord, why can I thank you? How can I praise you enough? When I finished high school, this story may be in this book, it may not be in this book. So that's why some of the stories, the first story or the second story I'm going to give, either one of them or both of them in this book, summarize. But when I finished my high school, 19 year old, this is what the Lord did in my life. Remember, I was raised a Muslim. I was born by Muslims. Then, after my grade school, me and my big sister, we decided to become church goer. We joined the Catholic Church. Through my high school, I was in the Catholic Church. Then after the high school, if you get through this book, you see many other things that I'm just keeping. Then after my high school, I was looking for God, more God. So I joined the Christ Apostolic Church because they pray a lot. That's Pentecostal. So they pray a lot. So I joined them. By that time, I was working in Ibadan, talking about 1970 and 71. Because I finished 1969 December, so 70 and 71. By 71 September, I went to college. But that 18 months was the time of this testimony that the devil wanted to eliminate me. I said, I just told you a story just before we started. I said, the devil wanted to eliminate this man because he knew what God wanted to do through this man, and God is not done yet, not so. So that's why he came again and said, look, gee, this man is starting a television channel. Oh, let me eliminate this man. That's what he was trying to get hold of. And Lord said, no. He has been trying to eliminate this man from the time he was born. But see, when I didn't even know God, God was in the background. Why? Because he said, this is my son, I'm going to use him. So that's why we are saying it is testimonies of God, what he did when we did not even know him. So without that eyes, during that year, 1 year that I was working, I got a job as an accounting clerk assistant in the accounting department of International Institute of Tropical Agriculture in Ibadan. That was where I was working. And then somehow, a 18-year-old boy started getting lean, and I was nothing wrong with me, but people, my friends, started noticing it. and they kind of avoid me. Skinny, I would get to skin and bone. The only thing that saved me was that I was staying with a friend, an uncle, that before I got a job, they helped me get a job. So I was staying with them, and then when I got a job, I moved out and got my own room in a bathroom. And while I was living by myself, I was getting skinny within 3 months. That many of my friends didn't come very regularly. I'm talking of boys that were home together. But this man, after about 4 months, have not seen me. So he ran into me in the streets. He just came by to look for something. And I saw, what happened to you? He said, me? No, nothing happened to me. Sick. No, you are sick. No, like a young man, he said, no, I'm not sick. He said, go meet your dad, let them look. Oh, let them look you over. Something is wrong. And I shake it off. No, nothing is wrong. I was not sick. So he went and told my big sister, and I saw my big sister every day. I mean, he lived over there and I lived over here. And every evening I would go there, but no, things are gradually changing. He didn't notice it. And he went and told my sister, have you noticed your brother? When did you see him last? Yesterday. When I saw him 2 months ago or 3 months ago, that was not how he looked. Something is wrong. Go home. And my sister came quickly to look at me again. And when she saw me really looking, she started crying. And said, something is wrong with him. Now I was afraid. And he said, go back to your parents, let them look you over. Have you checked the doctor? And I went to the doctor. He said, well, maybe take this tonic and so on and so forth. Nothing. But my sister got so scared and said she was also having her own problem. She was married for 3 years, 4 years and have no children. And she has gone to this, that, and then they have recommended her to go to church. Christ Apostles Church, I just followed her. That's why I said I joined Christ Apostles Church. So we were going to church regularly praying. After work, I would go to that church and then pray. There's always evening service, and then I'll come back home. But things were happening, you are not realizing it. So the story was based on the fact that my sister that night, she was so scared when she finally looked me over and said, no, something was really wrong. And she didn't notice it. Then she told me that she had been introduced to one witch doctor. That's where I'm going. But who are these witch doctors? Now, there's a difference between witch doctors and herbalists. Herbalists are just people that are trying to make you take this. These are called nutritionists. We call it herbalists in those other world. They tell you that take this. But the witch doctors, they actually send spirits. They conjure spirits. So they are mediums to this satanic world. So she said that when she was looking for children, they have introduced her to witch doctor, to medical doctor, to this and then to church. So she said she was one woman in Baron that she wanted to come, let's go meet this woman. When I was going to church, I said, well, no. I said, well, let's go meet her tonight. Let's see what she's going. So I went with her. Like I said, I was not born again in those years. You have to remember, I was not born again. Because you joined Christ Apostle Church, doesn't mean you are born again. I was not born again. I was still a sinner like everybody else. Party, I go to the party. Drinking, I go to drinking. Of course, I go to church and pray. So you have to remember the difference between being a church goer and being born again. I was not born again until I went to college. So we went to this woman that night. That woman was a senior. I was 18. My sister was just 6 years older than me, 24. And we have lost our mom. Our daddy way in another town. And so the woman was in her 50s or 60s. She first boasted and said, look, even medical doctors come to her when they have given up. She told us she has a medium. She called him a spiritual being that she could send on errand. And then she threw the thing down and saw that, I said, this one is beyond her capacity. That is what I'm pointing to. The woman looked at her oracle and said, this is beyond our control. She said, only God can reverse this. A witch doctor telling you that, only God can reverse this. Tell me, an 18-year-old boy and a sister, 24. Only God can reverse this. She told us after she had first boasted, that all those wishes in the neighborhood, she doesn't participate in them. She is from another part of the nation. But when she saw what she saw in her vision, in her dream, she said, only God can reverse this. That she said, your blood was on somewhere. She saw it was dried up, it's finished. He said, if it's not finished, if you have come earlier, he said, she will have called her own demon, the medium, to go bring that blood. And that medium, that's what she served. She gave something from them, they gave something from her. She said, but it is dried. Only God can reverse it. You know what the woman said? She said, if I want to deceive you, I'll just give you something and say, go, and I know it's not going to work. But God only can reverse it. He said, go and be praying. I said, oh, we pray. Me and my sister, we pray. We go to church. I said, she, go to those prophets. That was what the woman said. Go to those prophets and let them be praying over you. When a witch doctor tell you that, you know that those prophets must be greater than this witch doctor also. She said, only God can reverse this. It's beyond any woman's control. He said, but go to those prophets. Only God can reverse it. Go and let them be praying over you. And what they meant by prophets, you know, these praying ones, the Aladra, the white robe ones. Many people in born again people, they despise those people. I went to their midst later. I'm on the white robe one, the Aladra, as you call them, the Cherubim and Seraphim, because I was in their midst before I finally became born again. They said, some of them have some gifts. But see, if you don't know the word, the devil will deceive you also. You must know the word. The word is what many of them lack, the word of God, the revelation of the word, so that they more or less will mix the word of God with the deception from the devil, and it becomes like divination. But see, some of them have this gift, so some of them are just being deceived. So that was what the woman told us, but this is what I'm coming to. After the woman said that, she said, well, the only I can help you with this, go take this one, you purge your stomach. But see, the only prayer can do this. That night, I didn't tell my sister, because me and my sister went to this one. The woman has already told us only God can reverse this. And I go to church, this scripture, and say, I'm a Christ apostle every day. So I made up my mind that night that if God can reverse it, I'm going to get to Jesus God. I'm going to go to God. So my sister went to her house. I went home, and then that was around 8 p.m. But because I go to that Christ Apostolic Church, it's called Okeanu. They always have their churches named after a mountain of mercy. Is what the name of that church is called in Okeado, Ibadan, something like that. Oh no, somewhere in Ibadan. So I said, I knew that every evening, some people that have so many problems in their life also, they sleep overnight in that building every night, like a night vigil. I knew about it because you go there, they announce it. So I decided that I'm going to go join those people. So in the middle of that night, I took my break from dinner and I went to church with my Bible. Joined, and we are talking of a church that we sit about 200 to 300 people every evening. But in the new vigil, only about 10 or 12. People that sleep there all night, crying unto God for mercy all night, whatever they have done, or most of them are women that are looking for children, whatever it is. So I just joined them, 18-year-old boy. I didn't sleep that night. I was just crying unto God, praying, reading Psalms, and crying unto God. And then at 12 midnight, some of the pastors, one of the pastors or associate pastor will come and gather those people that were sleeping in the church or praying, and pray with them, sing few minutes and pray with them, and then go home. 3 a.m. another pastor will come and do the same thing. And then 6 a.m. another pastor will come, and then that will be the end of that night vigil. I can tell you that night I did not sleep. Singing psalms to God, praying and saying, Lord, if you reverse this thing like that, we should doctor say, if you will save my life, I will serve thee. And I will give that vow and I will give that testimony. And that was my testimony of God did that. That I'm still alive today. Because he just needs to turn and he turned this thing around. And it is God that is just like that woman said, only God could reverse this. He did it. After I cried unto him. Praise the Lord. That is what I mean by testimony of God. Because that was not this man has faith, not my faith. I didn't have anything. I was a sinner going to church. Because after that, I still participated in drinking and alcohol. Anytime they have party, they have party and so on and so forth. But the Lord was drawing me closer to himself until I went to college, where I met the true gospel. And I gave my life to Christ and then became born again. But that was a testimony of God, what he did in my life. Praise the Lord. And I will go to some few verses again before I go to the next testimony, so I can see what God has done and what God will do for you. There are many people who are listening to this online, on radio, and they have situation. But if you cry unto the Lord, this Jesus is still alive. If you cry unto the Lord in your desperation, even when you are saying, well, gee, I was not a Christian, I was a Christian, God is merciful. Look at that in the book of Psalm 107. David summarized some of these things for us to see. That even men, when they don't even know God, and trouble came, and they cried to the Lord, he said, we send his mercy and help them. Psalm 107. Let me read some few verses here for you. Here in verse 10. For such as sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebel against the words of God, or contempt the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was not to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Now, this is not talking about believers. It's talking about people, any human being that cried to him. Like Christ said, whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. And the Lord delivered, and he delivered, and he delivered. Look at verse 17. David is calling, he said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul aboreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So the Lord has been good and faithful to all human beings, no matter what level you are. But if you cry out to him, you become his son. Then you enjoy so many benefits. When we are not walking with the Lord, like the one I told you, I was a sinner. I was going with the way the world was going. Going to church does not make you a child of God. You've got to be born again. Praise the Lord. Because when I became born again, the story changed. The story changed. Now you have God as your father. And he's responsible to keep you, to protect you, to provide for you, to do everything for you. But when you are not his son, you are on your own, beating about the bush in the world. And then the devil come against you and try to strangle you. If you cry out to God, God will still show mercy. That was my first testimony I gave to you. Praise the Lord. And you can give many, many more. After you become, after I became a believer, I can give so many of the testimonies of what the Lord has done through us to others, to help others. But I will go to the second testimony right now, because now it's fast forward. That was 1970. Now fast forward. Now I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I was given the ministry to preach to people, and I was doing a little here, a little there in Africa, back over here, a little here, a little there. And this testimony that I'm going to give here is 1987. Now I'm a minister of the gospel, preaching about everywhere. Then the Lord moved me over to America. Then I got married, and we're going to have our first baby. Now I'm going to give this testimony. If you have read this, my biography, you will see the story there. Many people say, when you are having the first baby, it's always tough. Yes. But we have prayed, we believe God that this is going to be easy. But the Lord, like I say in another psalm, I said, many things in the world, like Apostle Paul wrote for us. He said, all those things are common things that happen to men. It's what God also will use to try some people when he wants to try them. It's not every time, but he said, there's no temptation that comes upon you that is not common to men. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be overthrown by all those testimonies. So this testimony that I'm going to give is when we are having our first child, which many people have had this testimony before. And I want you to know this. If your own case was not like that, or your own case does not go this way, don't worry. Just thank God that you are alive and you are still okay. Because we prayed and believed God that we don't want C-surgery. We want everything to go smoothly. And that was our prayer, our testimony. But the day of the delivery became a testing time for me that the Lord allowed. The Lord just allowed it because, like I said, when everybody's being laid off in a place of work and you are trusting the Bible, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, you can claim the promise that says, 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but shall not come nigh me. That is the blessings of God. But when God wants to try you and prove you, then he allow you also to be laid off and see how you handle it. And then if you handle it correctly, then you pass. So this is the testimony of this one on that day. The day was 1987. My wife was pregnant and the baby was already 1 week late. And we have prayed, believing God that well, everything will be fine, there will be no need of any surgery, everything will be smooth. And so she was not really having any contraction. No, not much contraction. So we believe that was how God is going to answer the prayer. It's going to be smooth. Then suddenly she was, after 1 week or 1.5 weeks of late, the baby is already late. She called and said she had the water broke while she was lying down in the bed. The doctor said, go straight to the hospital. Once the bag of water is broken, go straight to the hospital. So she called me, I said, I'll be coming home. So I left, got to the hospital, 11 a.m. So from there was no contraction, a little bit. And the doctor said, well, maybe once bag of water is already broken, well, before the end of the week, before the end of the day, you should be okay. The baby should have come. No, it didn't go that way. 4 p.m., the doctor called back. I was now in the hospital with my wife, and they gave her a room. So we're there. And me, I say, believer, we have always been praying. I will just pray. We just keep praying. Believing God. 4 p.m., the doctor came with another OB specialist. And they look and say, well, before the end of the day, by midnight, the baby should have arrived. So that was the hope. They were expecting that things would just work smoothly. But no, they keep checking the uterus and say, it's just 3 centimeters. Since 11 a.m., just 3 centimeters. 4 p.m., still 3 centimeters. Well, how much will it be? It should be at least this much, 10 centimeters before the baby can be delivered. But they were thinking, but around 5 p.m., the doctor came and said, well, maybe they should excite this labor because she was not feeling any much contraction. Let's excite, so they put in the IV, so she was now getting more, the pain. Many of you women know what I'm talking about. Now that we have been believing God that there will be easy, now it's not more easy because now they are doing artificial excitation. So now she's now grown each time the contraction come, and I will be praying. I was agonizing like that, agonizing with your wife, But in the end, coming 12 midnight, the check is still 3 centimeters. What's going on? The doctor called, 12 midnight, the doctor left the office, gone home. She called to make sure that her patient is supposed to, is everything going? She will call the nurse. They will come back and check, it's 3 centimeters. And she said, by 2 a.m., if it's still the same, I'm going to have to call for C-section to do surgery. So the nurse told us that the doctor said that. We keep praying. Then I called some of my brethren that are here. I said, call the pastor. That time we have Pastor Neil Frisbee, we are going to his church. Send in prayer requests that we don't want C-section. We are believing God for a miracle. Maybe Andy Brennan, the family came and visited us in the hospital, and then they left, went to, they said they sent the note to the pastor. The pastor said, well, she got a message that's pray, so he also pray. So we were waiting and waiting, praying and believing God, and came about maybe 4 a.m. The doctor came again. Now the doctor is worried now. 11 a.m. to 4 a.m. the second day. So the doctor came in, drove into the hospital and come and check and say, well, gee, it's still too small, 3 centimeters. So he just told us right there and said, you have to go for C-section. Gee, what we have been praying for 9 months, you mean God will fail? So he said, we have to just go for C-section right now. She told the nurse, go prepare the theater. And he was going to call this OB specialist to come on in. And I said, doctor, give us 30 more minutes. He said, well, go ahead. It's going to take us more than 30 minutes to get ready. So he left, the nurse left. And I felt that I was sitting on this chair like this, and my wife on the bed. And I just knelt down on my knees right now by the chair and said, Lord, we have prayed all these months and I can't resist these doctors anymore. Because if you don't do something right now, there's nothing we can do to stop these doctors. So I said, Lord, come and do something. And this is to the glory of the Lord. That's why I'm saying, if yours does not go like that, because I have brethren that went through this section and they have the same pressure and they just went for it. If the Lord didn't show up, I will have to just submit to it also. But this is the testimony. That is my own story. So your story may be different, but praise God that He's still glorifying God. This is my own story. As I knelt down there and I cried to the Lord, me on my knee, my wife on the bed, and nobody in the room now. They have left. The woman, the nurse has gone to prepare the theater. The doctor has gone out to go call the other doctor. And I've said, give me 30 more minutes. He said, well, it's going to take off more than 30 minutes to prepare. Go whatever you want to do. So when I knelt down and prayed, I felt the Lord come into that room. And not just feeling, I felt a hand patted me on the back. And it's not my wife, because my wife was lying down on the bed there, and I was sitting on there. A hand of a man patted me on the back and said, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. He didn't say he's going to be fine with the surgery. He said, then he gave me a word. He said, when the doctors come back, tell them to check it one more time. So when I heard that, so I sat down on the chair, waiting. I waited maybe another 15 minutes. The nurse came back with papers. With papers for me to sign. And you all know the paper. Those are non-disclosure, or this, what do you call it? You sign your life away. No, it's a liability thing. If anything happens, and they will tell you, read through it, say, well, if there's a problem, surgery is dangerous, so it could be some this, could be that, and you are signing that there will be no lawsuit. That's what that signature is. And I read through it, I didn't sign. The woman left, and 5 minutes later, she came back to come and collect the paper. I said, well, I can't sign right now. I want the doctor to come back first. As if the devil was trying to try this thing. The devil spoke through the mouth of this woman. The woman said, hey, nothing will take this baby out except surgery. I don't think she planned that, but that was what dropped out of her mouth. And something dropped out of my own mouth. So I said, that's what you think, that God is bigger than you. I was not angry. It just came out of my mouth, just like that thing came out of her mouth. She collected the paper and left. I didn't sign the paper, so she was angry. And I waited maybe another 30 minutes. Then the two doctors came in now with the nurse. And our own doctor, which is general practitioner, has already briefed this OB specialist, his friend, and said, this is the decision, and that's his judgment. I said, okay. So the OB specialist was one that talked. When they came inside, he just told us my doctor said, that was the best thing for this situation. And I was waiting. For him to finish his decision. Once he finished, I said, doctor, can you check it one more time? The man laughed. I'm almost like, this man doesn't get it. Okay. So he got the sun gloves. Check it one more time. I was expecting something. I was expecting, he said, what's happening? It's changed. 700 centimeters. Let's give them more time. 7 centimeters. What a relief. And my doctor also got his own angle and check it again. What did you guys do within 1 hour? I said, Jesus came inside to change the situation. They said, it must be the Lord. That's why I call it is testimony of God. Not our testimony. He said, well, Jesus, suppose something happened. If nothing happened and Jesus, the Lord didn't show up, then we will just have to succumb to it. You see. But the Lord was waiting for us to hang in there and stand our ground when He said, ask one more time, and I asked one more time, He has come and changed the situation. And that was the testimony of my own story. And then they just said, well, let's wait for another 15 minutes and see. And they waited 15 minutes and checked. It's not 9 centimeters. Oh, the doctor said, well, you can go through this one now. We don't need to do surgery. And the OB specialist went home. And that was the testimony of how the baby was delivered with normal delivery. And the rest was history. That is my story of God did this when the doctors have given up. God did this. You remember the story of this brother that came and said the Lord delivered him from cancer and so on. God is still doing miracles when the doctors have given up and you cry unto the Lord. Jesus is still alive. That's what this testimony is all about, that Jesus is still alive. And when we do, when we work for the Lord, he's also faithful, and he also will honor his word. And the Lord is good. Let me read another 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Because somebody may be in the world of science, or somebody may be listening to what we are saying here on radio, on television, or on the internet, and said, well, these people may be just coincidental. This is what Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Give it to me. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Not Simon. Hey, Apostle Peter was telling us, if we start from verse 15, what did he say? Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my departure, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Because people thought, well, this book you guys are following, you call it the Bible, you think it's just fairy tales. You thought it was just some fantasy tale, some book. Somebody put it on YouTube, just I saw it fly, I didn't read it, I didn't even listen to it, because it was full of, he said they make it up. He was trying to say they make up the story of salvation, they make up the story of Christ. I said, oh, they make it up. Apostle said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. These are not cunningly devised fables, as if written story about Jesus. He said, we are eyewitness of his majesty. So that's why this testimonies of those who say, well, you know, that can be coincidental. Well, let it be coincidental when I pray. Amen. That is, I don't, that's how I saw people. You say, well, maybe it's just coincidental. Let it be coincidental when I pray. And the answer came coincidentally. Every time I pray and the answer came and it's coincidental, praise the Lord. Because the atheists think there is no God. The agnostic think there may be. But they thought nobody's answering on the other side. God is on the other side. Somebody is listening to prayers. That is what I want to share with this testimony. Somebody is listening on the other side. That's what brings me to what a testimony of things that happen in between this time and that time that I was just talking about. When I was working here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was an engineer, then I became a manager working for a French company here called Group Bull, B-U-L-L. And they would send me to France, and I would go for some few weeks and come back. I just come to that remembrance. There was a friend in England that they knew me, that every night I would wake up and pray in the night, because when I visited them in England in 1978, so cold outside, but I said, I need to go outside. I said, Brother Julius, you can't go outside, it's so cold. I said, well, no, the Lord will take care of me. So that woman remembered, I said, Brother Julius, I just, after 40 something years, I contacted him again. He said, Brother Julius, do you still go out to pray in the night? I said, yes. It's a lifestyle. When I was, this should be 1997, now I went to France, Louisiana. It's where this company have a branch. And I was there, and I was in the fifth floor of this hotel room. And I would wake up in the night and pray, praising the Lord, speaking in tongues. And this testimony is to make you to see that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, like Apostle Peter told us, that we are so sure of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord of the heavens, and Lord of the invisible world, and Lord of this physical world. That is what this testimony is to make you to see. I will wake up, like I said, it becomes lifestyle for me. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever time the Lord woke me up. And I was praying, I will actually open my window, and I know that open fifth floor of that five-story hotel building. The window was part towards Paris. And I was praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. I don't know what the Holy Ghost was saying, but I was just praying in tongues. And because I opened the window, after praying in tongues for a while, a big ball of light just went from the top of the building towards Paris. And I said, amen, praise God. I knew the Lord was doing something there. Remember when the Apostle Paul was going about preaching, and the Bible said he got to a place, they wanted to go east, and the Lord said no, they want to go west. And they said, the vision came to Apostle Paul, said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Many times people don't know that when you are praying, ministers especially, when you are praying in tongues especially, God can use those tongues to do wonders that you don't know about. So when I was doing that in that day, and the light went like a ball of light, I saw a ball of light physically. I'm not talking about a dream, because I was waking up in my bed and I opened the window and I was praying for almost 30 minutes to 1 hour, singing and praising and praying in tongues, when that light got went like a ball of light from the top of the building and went towards the direction I was praying, which is towards Paris. The following year, or following some months later, I was to go back to France for another training. No, the devils don't want me to go back there. And I saw, while they were just planning it, this is right here, they are still planning that I will go for the next training maybe 6 months later. They are planning it, and I was to go and get my maybe visa and so on and so forth. Then I saw a dream or a vision where I was in this airplane going across Atlantic, and the airplane was hijacked. In the vision now, hijacked into the bottom of the ocean. And I was in the bottom of the ocean with these people, they are negotiating. I don't know what's going on. Then I woke up, what's going on here? These are spiritual things. They didn't want me to come back there, because who is this person that sent fire upon us? When you are praying, the Lord can do whatever he wants to do. It's not me, it is the Lord that was doing something. And that's why I brought the story of Apostle Paul. I said, come over to Macedonia and help us. You know that when I said that thing was hijacked in the vision, I woke up in that vision, finding myself in that vision in the bottom of the ocean, like in a little room where some people are talking. And by the time I woke up, they canceled the meeting, or they said they didn't let me go. And so far, it was canceled, or they just couldn't get me to go. I couldn't go to France. And the training was to start from this week to that week, and maybe the third week. And then after the training was over, I saw myself in the vision again. I was released from that ocean. I just found myself in the vision that I was let go. So I came back and said, well, see, so they were actually planning that this man should not come back to France. These are spiritual spirits. You see, that's why Apostle Paul said, we fight not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness. Well, that was then. Maybe another many years later, I became manager again, the same company. And I have to go to France, this place and that place. And then there was a place called Grenoble, very close to Italy, where our company has another big facility there, and I will go there for meetings. So I went to the place one time or the other and met some group of believers. There's a church, small church here, a charismatic church. So I fellowship with them. Now there was a time I was to go to that same Grenoble, and I told my friend, I said, I want to actually go this time to really make impact. I want to go with tracts. So I wrote some little pamphlet, a little tract you see on my website, and I told this friend, a French guy here, help me translate this into French. And he translated it, so I make a pamphlet, a tract in French, that I'm going to go with these French tracts and distribute in the streets. And that was what I planned to do. And I went there. When I got to that place, I said the first time I was there, there was nothing, no trouble. I just went to fellowship with the people. But the final time when I was about to go, I saw a dream that said, come over and help us. And I said, come over and help us. That is why I remember the story of Apostle Paul. That they call Apostle Paul and say, come over and help us. And I said, help us for what? So when I got to France in that time, this time that I went, after I had a dream that said, come over and help us, the whole city of Grenoble was full of gravity. What you call it, gravities. Almost like demons have come into that place. Every street you see gravity, that you say, gee, this is bad. No wonder the spirits are saying, come over here and help us, because there are believers there. They have been praying and things like that. So when I went there, I said, well, I will pray again over this city. And I prayed and prayed over the city from the hotel where I was. And I went to the street, give them some of those high school kids, young kids, give them French tracts, I couldn't speak much French. I gave them tracks, talked to some of them that can speak English, and I came back to America. Does that really help? Does it help? When the vision said, come over and help us, I believe God, it will help, because every night I was praying. I only was there 1 week, but I was praying in tongues like I did before. The next time I went over there, the city, I've been able to clean up the graffiti, or the graffitis that are all over the city. And I say, well, the Lord has helped them indeed. So that's why I say, we are not fighting flesh and blood. Apostle Paul meant it when he said, we are fighting principalities and powers of darkness. Take your prayers seriously, brethren. Take your speaking in tongues seriously. You may not know what you are saying. You may not know what city you are affecting. But the Lord said, do it, do it. And we do the prayer meeting every night. Right now, the Lord told us to be doing that for his kingdom. That kingdom, because he said, pray in tongues for as long as you can. Anytime you want to go on his toll-free line that we have. And pray in tongues. And the Holy Ghost is going to use it to do great things. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 6. As I wrap it up, Ephesians chapter 6. What Apostle Paul was telling us, that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Praying always. And the last point says, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. You see that? Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. And you'll be surprised what the Lord will do. See, when the Lord make us to see those things, like I did say, I saw a ball of light fly. Why was that? He wanted me to be encouraged. He doesn't need to show me that for what he's going to do. It's just to encourage you to do it more. Do it more. Do it more. When you pray in tongues and you feel something or you see something or you say something, it's just to encourage you to do it more, because God will use what you are doing. But if you are not being encouraged, you kind of give up. Nobody's joining me, you give up. No. Keep doing it. Praise the Lord. Keep praying in the Spirit. That's what Apostle Paul said. Pray in the Spirit. Say, you know, praying always with all prayer and application in the Spirit. And washing thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. Praise the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to use this Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22 to wrap it up. So that you that listen to me, if you are a believer, take this thing seriously. If you are not a believer, you better come on in and be part of the kingdom of God. This is Apostle Paul saying to we that are believers, he said, we are come unto Mount Zion. That is verse 22, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22. To know that we are not following cunningly revised tables. We have come unto Mount Zion. This is no more Mount Sinai where there was fire, physical fire. This is much more deeper than that. This is spiritual. See, ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we are. That's where we are seated. That's whom we are following, the Lord of the heavenly Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels. Whether you see them or not, they are around you. If you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you see them or not, they are ready to fight for you if you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ the way he wants, the way he prescribed for us. Innumerable company of angels, verse 23 says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and you have come unto God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, it's verse 23 or verse 25 is the final one. It says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for let's see what he said there. If they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Praise the Lord. He's telling you, don't take this thing lightly. Don't take this life of Christ, don't take it lightly. This is life. This is the true life. He said, this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Apostle Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Like some people say, well, this is made believe. This is all stories. This is all fables. No, this is not fables, brother. There are somebody is listening to prayers in the other side that is going to answer your prayer. The Lord is listening. That's why when we pray and he answered, we give him all the glory. Stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. That's the end of the sermon. Stand up to your feet. I thank the Lord for what he has done in my life. And I want you to know that he can do the same thing, and he's still doing the same thing for those that we trust in him. It's not localized to a particular man. You say, well, because you are called to be a minister. No, it's for every believer. You say, this time shall follow them that believe in me. So it is for everybody. And he's calling you to come on in. If you are not a believer yet, come on in, and he's going to use you also. And if you call upon him, he's going to answer. Somebody is listening to prayers. The Lord Jesus Christ is his name. All the other ways are no way. See, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So lift up your hands and just thank him. Thank him for the life he has called us unto if you are a believer. Thank him that, yes, Lord, I am yours. I will follow you, and I will trust in you, and I give my life to you. Do with me whatever you want to do, and let me be used by thee in the name of Jesus. Let me have testimonies of God, what he has done, what he will do, what he will come to do in our life. Blessed be the name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, God, for these people that are listening. Those that have not known thee, I pray, Lord, that they will come to know that this is not a fable. Following Jesus is the truth, is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other God that can deliver us like this, like Nebuchadnezzar found out. Father, we thank you, Lord. And those that have come to Christ, we pray, Lord God, that Lord God will give us the grace to keep growing in grace, to move closer and closer to you and please you and disappear from here without seeing this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take it over. Hallelujah.